From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We're going to have a bill, the one big, beautiful bill, I think it's going to be. It's the biggest bill ever passed, and we've got to get it done. Tremendous tax cuts for people, tremendous incentives, tremendous regulation cuts, all these regulations that are so horrible.
President Trump makes a rare visit to Capitol Hill to push House Republicans to support a sweeping budget bill that gives massive tax breaks to the rich. The Congressional Budget Office says the bill will result in more than half a trillion dollars in Medicare cuts, in addition to sweeping cuts to Medicaid and Obamacare. We'll speak to Bishop William Barber, who's been arrested twice in recent weeks protesting the cuts.
What they're considering right now would cost coverage, would take millions of people, not hundreds and thousands, but millions of people away from Medicaid. We're talking about $880 billion in cuts over 10 years.
We'll also speak about the budget bill with disability rights activist Julie Farrar of ADAPT and reporter Arjun Singh of The Lever, which has just released an audio series called The Tax Revolt on the history of the Republican anti-tax movement, then to America's brain drain.
I believe we're experiencing the great American healthcare tragedy, and it centers around a massive misallocation of federal government funds.
As the Trump administration slashes spending on healthcare and scientific research, we'll look at the long-term impacts of Trump's anti-science agenda as scientists look to take their research overseas. All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. Israel's military is continuing its assault on Gaza, killing at least 52 people since sunrise this morning. As Palestinian health officials warn of a growing hunger catastrophe 80 days after Israel imposed a total blockade on food, water and medicine, the United Nations says no aid has been distributed in Gaza due to tight restrictions imposed by Israel, which has allowed just a handful of aid trucks into the territory in the last days. That's despite the UN's warning on Tuesday that 14,000 babies are at risk of dying without immediate aid. Gaza's health ministry says at least 326 deaths have been linked to malnutrition and lack of medicine since March, while 300 pregnant Palestinians have suffered miscarriages caused by nutritional deficiencies. This is a displaced Palestinian mother in Gaza City.
Life is very, very difficult. We hear about those aid trucks coming in. Some 9 vehicles, others say 12 vehicles, and it's all lies. We don't see anything sent to us.
The United Kingdom has suspended trade talks with Israel and will impose sanctions on West Bank settlers. On Tuesday, Prime Minister Keir Starmer called Israel's announcement that it would allow a small quantity of food into Gaza for its starving population of over 2 million totally and utterly inadequate. This is British Foreign Secretary David Lammy.
The world is judging. History will judge them. Blocking aid, expanding the war, dismissing the concerns of your friends and partners. This is indefensible, and it must stop.
On Tuesday, the European Union's foreign policy chief said the 27-nation bloc will review its political and economic agreements with Israel over the catastrophic situation in Gaza. Separately, Spain's parliament passed a non-binding resolution Tuesday calling on the government to impose an arms embargo on Israel. This comes as the head of the opposition Israel Democratic Party, Yair Golan, condemned the Netanyahu government's siege of Gaza during an interview with Israeli public radio.
Israel is on its way to becoming a pariah state among nations, like South Africa was, if we don't return to acting like a sane country. And a sane country does not wage war against civilians, does not kill babies as a hobby, and does not give itself the aim of expelling populations.
Here in the United States, President Trump made a rare visit to Capitol Hill Tuesday to push House Republicans to support a sweeping budget bill that gives massive tax breaks to the rich while slashing spending for Medicaid, nutritional assistance, subsidies for clean energy. One estimate shows nearly 14 million people could lose health coverage under the plan. The Congressional Budget Office warns the bill would trigger some more than half a trillion dollars in automatic cuts to Medicare under the Statutory Pay-as-you-go Act. Budget negotiations continued through the night as a group of Republicans are pushing for even bigger cuts, while blue state Republicans are seeking larger tax breaks by increasing the deduction and state and local taxes. After headlines, we'll have more on the Republican budget bill with Bishop William Barber of the Poor People's Campaign. We'll also speak with ADAPT, the disability rights organization. The Trump administration's reportedly deported a group of immigrants from Burma and Vietnam to the nation of South Sudan, potentially in violation of a previous federal court order that restricts the removal of immigrants to a third country without proper due process. On Tuesday evening, U.S. District Judge Brian Murphy in Boston ordered Trump officials to maintain custody of the immigrants transferred to South Sudan to, quote, ensure the practical feasibility of return in case the court finds their removal is illegal and orders their return to the U.S. One of the Burmese immigrants flown to South Sudan, identified in court documents as NM, has limited English proficiency and refused to sign a removal order given to him in English only. This comes amidst increasing conflict and fears of a new civil war in South Sudan. In more immigration news, a report by the Cato Institute says dozens of Venezuelans, more than 50, who were transferred from the U.S. to El Salvador's Secat mega prison in March, had pending asylum appointments after they entered the U.S. using the Biden-era app CBP1. At least one had a temporary visa, while four others had authorization to live in the U.S. through the refugee program. Democrats on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee grilled Secretary of State Marco Rubio Tuesday over his support for President Trump's agenda, including the deportation of immigrants without due process to El Salvador's Secat prison. Maryland Democratic Senator Chris Van Hollen, who in April traveled to El Salvador to campaign for the return of Salvadoran immigrant Kilmar Abrego Garcia, a father who lived in Maryland, said he regretted voting to confirm Rubio. Rubio shot back, calling Abrego Garcia a gangbanger while providing no evidence.
In the case of El Salvador, absolutely, absolutely. We deported gang members, including the one you had a margarita with. And that guy is a human trafficker, and that guy is a gangbanger, and the evidence is going to be clear. In the days to come, you're
going to
see who you went to defend.
Senator,
I'm sorry,
please,
Secretary
Chairman,
Rubio has the floor.
Mr. Chairman, he can't make unsubstantiated
Senator,
comments like that.
Secretary Rubio has the floor.
Separately, Secretary Rubio told Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy he was not aware that President Trump is set to host a private gala dinner on Thursday at Trump's golf club in Northern Virginia for the top 220 investors in the Trump cryptocurrency meme coin, even though the event has been widely reported and will feature many foreign investors. The majority are from other countries.
Do you have a list of those foreign individuals who will be meeting with the president?
I don't. I don't know anything about it. I didn't even know there was a dinner on Thursday night, so I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem is drawing backlash following a hearing in front of the Senate Homeland Security Committee Tuesday in which she botched the definition of habeas corpus. This is Democratic Senator Maggie Hassan of New Hampshire questioning Noem about the constitutional right that safeguards people from being illegally detained.
So, Secretary Noem, what is habeas corpus?
Well, habeas corpus is a constitutional right that the president has to be able to remove people from this country
That's incorrect. Habeas corpus is the legal principle that requires that the government provide a public reason for detaining and imprisoning people. If not for that protection, the government could simply arrest people, including American citizens, and hold them indefinitely for no reason. Habeas corpus is the foundational right that separates free societies like America from police states like North Korea.
Democrats on the Senate Finance Committee grilled President Trump's nominee to be the next commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service Tuesday. Under questioning from Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, former Missouri Republican Congressmember Billy Long refused to state that it's illegal for the president to weaponize the IRS against his political opponents.
Is it illegal for the president to instruct the IRS to remove nonprofit status from a taxpayer?
I'm not going to have the answer that you need, and I apologize, but like I said—
Why are you not having the answer?
Meanwhile, Oregon Senator Ron Wyden said his staff has at least two recordings of Long's business associates saying they expect to get favors from the IRS once Long is installed as its commissioner. President Trump Tuesday proposed a missile defense project modeled after Israel's Iron Dome. Trump's Golden Dome calls for the U.S. to spend $540 billion over 20 years to launch a network of satellites that could track and intercept missiles launched at the United States. The project would likely be a massive boon to Elon Musk's private rocket company, SpaceX, which dominates the commercial launch sector. Here in New York, Columbia University's acting president, Claire Shipman, was met with loud boos and chants of Free Mahmoud as she walked up to the stage during graduation ceremony Tuesday.
Please welcome the acting president of Columbia University, Claire Shipman.
The work of your generation will be to shape these interesting times, to define the values.
The peaceful protest was in reference to Columbia graduate student Mahmoud Khalil, who remains in an ICE jail in Louisiana after being taken from his apartment on campus by federal agents in March. Meanwhile, newly released surveillance footage from Columbia shows Khalil complied and cooperated with the officers after they illegally entered his private Columbia-owned apartment building without a warrant. The footage contradicts claims by Trump officials who said Khalil attempted to flee. Khalil is scheduled to appear in immigration court tomorrow in Gina, Louisiana, where he remains behind bars. To see our coverage of this story, go to democracynow.org. In media news, the president and CEO of CBS News has stepped down, becoming the latest high-profile official to leave the network. Wendy McMahon said in a memo to CBS staff on Monday, quote, "It's become clear that the company and I do not agree on the path forward," unquote. Her departure comes as CBS's corporate owner, Paramount, is seeking FCC approval to complete an $8.4 billion merger with Skydance Media. And as Paramount is in talks to settle a $20 billion lawsuit filed by Donald Trump, who objected to the way CBS's 60 Minutes edited an interview with Kamala Harris. FCC Commissioner Ana Gomez called McMahon's departure beyond alarming, writing, quote, "Independent journalists are being silenced simply because their reporting may threaten the ambitions of their corporate owners. It will only embolden an administration hell-bent on censoring speech and controlling content," unquote. And in Mexico, the personal secretary and advisor to Mexico City's mayor were assassinated by gunmen on motorcycles in broad daylight Tuesday. Mayor Clara Brugada, who is a member of the ruling Morena Party and is an ally of President Claudia Sheinbaum, confirmed the killing, saying her secretary, Jimena Guzman, and advisor Jose Munoz were shot dead in a direct attack. This came just hours after at least seven young men, including minors, were killed as gunmen opened fire on a group in the central Mexican state of Guanajuato, where warring drug cartels indiscriminately target local communities. Residents are demanding justice. This is priest Jose de Jesus Perez.
Tenemos que nunca acostumbrarnos a esas violencias.
We must never get used to this violence. We don't want to get used to the violent deaths like those that sadly occurred yesterday morning when seven young people were massacred.
The U.S.-backed so-called war on drugs has led to decades of violence in Mexico. An estimated over 450,000 people have been killed since 2006, while another 100,000 have been disappeared. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. When we come back, we look at the House budget bill that gives massive tax breaks to the rich while slashing funds for Medicaid, Obamacare, and even Medicare. Stay with us.
To the misanthropic, misbegotten merchants of gloom, who look into their crystal balls and prophesy our doom, let the death knell chime, it's the end of time. Let the cynics put their blinkers on and toast our decline. Don't become demoralized by this chorus of complaint. It's a sure sign that the old world is terminally quaint, and tomorrow's gonna be a better day. No matter what the siren voices say, tomorrow's gonna be a better day.
Tomorrow's Going to Be a Better Day by Billy Bragg in our Democracy Now! Studio more than a decade ago. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman in New York, joined by Democracy Now!'s Juan Gonzalez in Chicago. Hi, Juan.
Hi, Amy, and welcome to all of our listeners and viewers across the country and around the world.
President Trump made a rare visit to Capitol Hill to push House Republicans to support a sweeping budget bill that gives massive tax breaks to the rich while slashing spending for Medicaid, food stamps and subsidies for clean energy. One estimate shows nearly 14 million people could lose health coverage. A new analysis by the Congressional Budget Office says the bill will also trigger $535 billion in Medicare cuts. Negotiations on the bill continued through the night as a group of Republicans are pushing for even bigger spending cuts, while blue state Republicans are seeking larger tax breaks by increasing the deduction on state and local taxes. Sorry. Let's go to President Trump.
This is the greatest bill that will ever, I think it's the most important bill this country just about has ever done in terms of size and scope. That's why we call it the great, big, beautiful deal. I mean, it really is. The bill is, I think it's going to be one of the most important. It's the biggest tax reduction in history, biggest regulation reduction in history. Incredible for Medicaid, for Medicare.
And now we go to Democratic Congressmember Brendan Boyle, who outlined how the bill would cut more than half a trillion dollars in Medicare cuts.
This is really the breaking news, because when the Budget Committee kicked off this process approximately 3 months ago, there was a commitment by President Trump that there would be no Medicare cuts in this piece of legislation. And indeed, over the last several months, there's been no discussion of Medicare at all. There has been of Medicaid, but not of Medicare. Well, here we are tonight because, as you explained, because of the size of the deficits, because of the PAYGO or Pay-As-You-Go Act, that would trigger sequestration of Medicare, and it would total over $500 billion. The official figure that CBO confirms is $535 billion in cuts to Medicare.
We're now joined by Bishop William Barber, president of Repairers of the Breach. Thank you so much for being with us. You are also national co-chair of the Poor People's Campaign. You've been arrested at least twice in the last few months protesting this bill. Can you talk about your major concerns? The Republicans are calling this bill the Big Beautiful Bill Act. Democrats are calling it cutting taxes for the rich. What do you say, Bishop Barber?
Thank you so much, Amy. And I was talking to Joan Baez about this the other day, about how ugly the times are and yet how we must stand. And we've got to sharpen our language. I was arrested with others, and we were arrested in the rotunda for simply praying about the ugliness of this bill. And people who represent thousands, hundreds of thousands of religious congregants were arrested, and we're going back June 2nd for a mass moral Monday sponsored by Repairers of Breach and 20 other partners, because we have to stand up in this moment. This is a big, ugly, destructive, deadly bill. And we have to start talking about it in those terms. It's not just about tax cuts to the wealthy. It is about that. But it is about death dealing and destruction to the poor and the elderly and the youth of our country, regardless of what their color is. In fact, one of the things we need to be doing is disaggregating what will happen in these states and in various communities, whether you're in Appalachia or you're in Alabama. They lie and say that this is about cutting fraud, and it really is not. It is about cutting legitimate and life-giving and necessary programs that we fought for years. Real quickly, Amy, I want your listeners to understand, when we talk about cutting Medicaid, we're talking about primarily low-income individuals of all races, creeds, and colors, families, children, pregnant women, and elderly people, and people with disabilities. Now we're hearing $500 billion cuts to Medicare. We're talking about persons who are 65 years or older. We're talking about children who have kidney disease, life-ending kidney disease, and people who have Lou Gehrig's disease. We know that for every 1 million people that are denied health care, some 2,500 people, some studies say, actually die. And we're talking about a time where we're already having 800 people dying a day from the effects of poverty and low wages. This is a big, bad, ugly, deadly, destructive bill. And it must be resisted everywhere, in the places of power, in our pulpits, in the streets. We must pray, put our bodies on the line, because what we're talking about here is 13.7 million people could lose Medicare and their health insurance. We also know that there's no way to do this kind of cutting without eventually also getting to Social Security. The numbers just will not work. We also know that Bannon has said in a video that he did that their goal is to control the $5 trillion budget so they can control the 70-some trillion dollar assets owned by the government. This is a massive takeover, a big, bad, ugly, destructive, deadly bill. Talking about 11 million children who would lose food stamps. People lose food stamps. 4 million of those are children. We're talking about $6.5 billion investment in green energy being cut. And they say that they are making these tax cuts to help society. But the very school that Trump often claims and brags about, he attended the Wharton School, has said that for low-income America, for poor and low-income people, the changes to the tax code in the House bill means they will have less annual income. They will lose an average of $1,035. But for the wealthiest people in this country, it says that they will get an average of $389,000+ more per year. This is a big, bad, ugly, deadly, destructive bill that will hurt poor people, will hurt low-wage people, and ultimately will hurt America. And if they do it, they want to do it for 10 years. You're going to see massive destruction in rural health care. You're going to see these immoral cuts where the rich have more, the poor and working people have less. And then they want to put more money, not only what they're cutting, but another $350 billion into defense contractors and more money into deportation. So basically what they want to do is take this budget and codify the vision and the goals of Musk and DOG into this budget. And they want to do it, Amy, lastly, with a reconciliation process. That means they only need 51 votes, not 60, but 51 votes. Trump is one to say one thing that's true. This is a great bill, but it's not great in the sense of good. It is a great, big, bad, ugly, destructive, deadly, debilitating bill that will hurt Americans and poor, low-wage people for years and years to come, and could be the very undermining of our democracy if we allow it to go forward.
Bishop Barber, in rural areas specifically, there's been reports of many hospitals that may be forced to close in rural communities as a result of cuts in federal funding. Could you talk about in your areas of North Carolina and other rural areas the direct impact that will result from this?
Well, remember, COVID exposed a whole lot of our problem with our health system. And so we know that the states, for instance, didn't expand Medicaid. During COVID, many, many, many people died that didn't have to die. And we saw the rate of death in poor and low-wage states, whether they were predominantly white or predominantly black, were about the same level. It was gross. It was immoral. It was bad. We also know that because states didn't accept Medicaid expansion, and this bill would roll back a lot of Medicaid expansion, would roll back Medicaid, which is critical to keeping rural hospitals open. So let me give you a story of what we're going to see, what we have already seen. In North Carolina, for instance, when North Carolina refused to expand Medicaid, there's a lady, a young lady was named Portia. I met her. Portia was the first person to die in Belhaven, North Carolina, a rural community, after that hospital was closed, and because of the cuts in the denial of Medicaid expansion. They had a hospital, had had it for 30, 40, 50 years. It could not survive. You know, she died in the parking lot, of a school, waiting on the helicopter to come. And the doctor said, if that hospital had been there, she would have probably lived, because she would have been able to get to care within what we call the golden hour. This bill goes forward, you're going to hear more of that. More hospitals cut, more rural hospitals cut, more inner city hospitals cut, more hospitals disabled from carrying out their duties to care for the people. And I want to just drive home, Amy and Juan, that we've got to get folk to see how this is affecting lives. We have to start talking about this budget as a form of social and political murder, social and political deadliness, because they know, and the reason I use the word murder is because they know that it's going to cause death. The studies are out there that tell what happens when you cut more and more health care, and yet they're pushing through, and they're pushing through in the middle of the night. They do not want to have this debate during the day when people are up and they can see what's going on. They're doing it at night because this is a great, big, bad, ugly, deadly, destructive budget bill.
And yet, Bishop Barber, there are some Republicans that are holding out support because they want even more cuts than the present bill that is being shepherded by Speaker Johnson. What is your response to how people should resist or deal with the maneuvers in Congress in these coming days?
Budgets are moral documents. That's why we're calling on people to join us June the 2nd. On Monday for a mass moral Monday right in front of the Supreme Court and in the Capitol. Clergy are coming in full vestments. We're inviting clergy. Clergy are bringing impacted people and other advocates. We have to stand up everywhere and declare that this is not about Democrat or Republican, as we said in 2018, or left versus right. This is really about right versus wrong. And this should be our total focus, because if you allow this with this budget, you dismantle the government. This is their attempt to so-called dismantle the state, administrative state, but it's deadly and it's destructive. And we have to call it a moral issue, and we have to put a face on who's actually going to be hurt and what's actually going to happen. I'm calling on every news agency to be putting up maps of the United States and show where the cuts are going to be, so that folk can understand this is not going to affect people outside of your community. It's going to affect your community. Every Democratic congressperson, or if there's a Republican that's against it, should bring impact to people to the gallery. They should be walking through the congressional offices in the Capitol. Make the folk have to see who they will actually be hurting, whose lives they will be putting on the line. This is gut check time for America. This is gut check time for the moral voices of this country. We cannot stand down in this moment. If this goes into effect, we're talking about 10 years that this country could be hampered and hurt with what will happen with this budget. And it's not just what they're cutting,